So we have big birthday one party coming up. So that is great. But I spent a lot of time with the Lord this week, and I was just really stoked. But before I tell you what I'm stoked about, I want you to check out this video again. It's just a short clip from Chad's ministry. He's coming to be here Saturday.
Because I'm no longer the sinner who's connected to it. I'm connected to the vine, and through the vine, there is no disease, there is no sickness, there is no death. It is a flow of the life of God.
It was a promise. You'll never be sick another day in your life, because I'm your healer. I'm now your doctor. Come on, guys, think about it. The Israelites, all they knew was the medicine and the witchcraft and the sorcery and the occult of Egypt. That's all they knew. They didn't know God like we know God.
Chad is real excited to get here. We're believing for miracles, signs, and wonders, not just to, we've already seen them now. Things are starting already. My sister, who the secretary, she was just healed on her way home from church last week. Her eye just, how many know she looked like Rooster Cogburn, female style, with the eye patch on. God healed her on the way home. She's just like, Brad, my eye's healed. And so totally, so cool. That is awesome. Already people are calling in. We're coming. Is Chad coming? We're coming. Because the same God that Chad follows is the same God we follow. And so it's not just going to happen then. And isn't that ironic? Like right now, if you know you're looking around, I know it's January. I know what day it is. And I know the weather's cold. But there has been rampant among sickness of just hitting the body of Christ. Just this and this and this. And I don't feel this. And I feel bad and this. And you know what? I'm telling you, it's not to me. It's not by accident. The enemy is out. And he's trying to do whatever he can. But I got news. And you already know it. Jesus already beat that. And so we need to get that in us so that we can walk in victory and stop the attacks of the enemy. I'm so excited. What he's shown me in these last few days is just, he gave me a picture. I spent like almost 5-6 hours in a row just studying and looking at what he wants me to, you know, for vision for TLC. And in my mind, I mean, I wasn't transported. I was in my house, but I could see a pipeline. And there was a pipeline, and Jesus was telling me to put things in the pipeline because things are going to come out the other side. How many understand if you don't put anything in, nothing comes out? It's just like, Rob's a plumber. If water's not going in one side, it's not coming out the other. You know, so so all that being said, there are things that we are doing and things that we have just quit doing that we need to do. Does that make sense? That is going to help. We're going to get as many people saved this next year. This is going to be a harvest year. I'm saying that one more time. This is going to be a harvest year. And the enemy is trying very hard to stop that, but he can't stop it. We're gonna see things happen. Now, first of all, I was so stoked. If you saw, did you see the bass player up here? That is my youngest son, Sam, and he works full time for Pastor Gary. And he said, you know, hopefully this year, different times throughout the year, he's going to be able to bless us and come. He's on their praise team there, and kid is awesome. He was the original that we started when we started the church. He was obviously part of the band. Mama handed him a bass and said, learn this. And Zach was the drummer, and we knew he was a drummer because he was beating on his brother and everything else that he could find. And but just so good to see Sam back on the platform, and it's just crazy good. But, we're going to reach people for Christ. We're going to make things that are just like, people are going to know how important they are. I'm going to say it one more time. People need to know how important. Jesus died for them. And we're going to not put people on a pedestal, but we're going to value people. And so in this kind of weather, I just told Scott, I said, I need to find, and in my mind, I could see a golf cart. So I don't know if any of y'all have a golf cart that you don't want to keep or want to sell. I'm going to buy one or do something. We're going to get a golf cart, and we're going to call it TLC Transport. And we'll put a little yellow light on it. And no, you don't get to play cops and robbers, but we're going to put a little yellow light on it. And so whenever you park, if it's inclement weather, or maybe, you know, you've got an injury on your foot or your leg, whatever, and you're just like, I want to come to church, but if I park clear out there, I can't make it to the door yet. Your faith isn't at that spot yet. We're going to bring you here. That transport's going to go and pick you up at your car if it's raining or whatever, bring you to the door and covered. You know, we're not going to have it open so that you're like, hey, isn't that great? I just got to the door quicker. I'm still wet, but, you know, we'll get you here, and then we'll take you back just to your car, save you some steps. Why? Because we want to value you. So you're going to be looking at some things. Obviously, the restroom, they started remodeling the ladies' restroom. So, ladies, you're going to go back down here to Kidstown. That should be up and going by next week for Chad. And then after Chad, we'll hit the men's bathroom. We met with the architect, and we've already paid that. We're already, you guys, all of us, are in that, getting almost close to $7,000. It's amazing, you know, but that's part of the system. As much as I'd love to go, I don't want to do this part. I can't avoid it, because to go to the state, I got to have permits, and I got to have an architect. That's how that works. So we've got a design for the front. All that's going to, you know, to start to take place, and we'll figure all of that out once we know what the cost is. Our guesstimate. I told you I'm very upfront. I don't hide things from you. Is anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000. That's my guess. Just per square foot and what they do at the front. There'll be double doors at the front that you'll come in. We'll have a rendering that'll be out on the vision board before. As soon as we go back and we approve everything through the architect, they'll send the colored rendering back, and we'll have that up, and we'll put things together, and so you'll be able to see it, and you'll be able to see where we're going. And we want to get that, just because those doors are in terrible shape. We've checked in to get them repaired. The cost of doing that obviously is not the cost I just quoted you. But it really, because the glass has already been compromised, all of that is just not in good shape. We've already replaced the inside paneling because it leaks, and the other was moldy and warping. This one will eventually get there because we didn't fix the leak. We just covered it for right now because we knew this was going to be happening. So to put all the money into something that's not doing well anyway, we're going to do that, and then we'll hit parking lot in Kidstown, and we'll see how that goes. But I'm excited about that because God has got plans for True Life Church, and we are finally going to start getting past the sticking point, which brings us to what we're talking about. This is week two in the sticking point, so if you didn't see last week, you might want to get that. You can download that for free or watch it on our website or YouTube. We have both of those available. We're also on Facebook or live streaming, so let's say hi to our online crowd, whether website or Facebook, however. I suggest go to the website just for the fact that Facebook shuts me off quite frequently different times. They love me. And the website, they can't shut us off. So just a little word of advice, truelifemarion.com. You can live stream right from there, but whatever your choice is. So let's talk about the sticking point. Let's get to what we're doing. And I don't know about you, but I have been at many sticking points in my life where it seems like it just, you get there and it's like, I can't seem, you know, and that old used to say, I take two steps forward, and I'm not saying that anymore. I don't want to go five steps back. But I want to continue to go forward. I love progress. But when was the last time you had your eyes checked? You had your vision checked? I mean, I probably do to get mine checked again. I get that, you know. But my point is this. If we can't see, it's hard to go forward. If you walk into a room and I turn out the light, immediately your progress slows down because you're almost like... I knew a guy once, he said, for as long as he's married to his wife, they've been married about a dozen years, never change the furniture. Never. And he's like, he was just in a great mood. He said, I'm going to surprise her. He worked second shift. So he came home. It was after 11. He said, I'm going to run into the bedroom and just scare the snot out of her and just dive in because the bed's always right there. She decided to move the furniture. He said, once he woke up, and he's like, you've never. She goes, I don't know. I just felt to move it today. But if you can't see, it's hard to go forward. It's hard to, move around. And people that are sight impaired, they need things in the same place because they're used to this many steps to this. They can touch it this many steps this way. And if we're not careful, I get it. I understand. But we have to understand God wants to move us, and we have to trust him. Maybe we see fine in the natural, but what about our spiritual vision? Do we even have a vision for our spirit? Are we just kind of doing the thing? When I grew up, there was that Dunkin' Donuts commercial where that guy, time to make the donuts. And that's all he did every day, time to make. Is that what your life or your job is like? Time to make the donuts. Do you want something more? Are you tired of seeing the same scenery? How many watched Flintstones growing up? How many watched Fred and Dino run around that same window a zillion times and saw the same scenery? Sometimes that's like us. We just like, ah. Israelites had sticking points. They stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. But we see what we focus on, don't we? Have you ever talked to somebody that they see what they want to see and they don't see what they don't want to see? Now, I'm a dude. I'm a hunter. I like sports. I like karate. There's a lot of things, but I'm a dude. But we'll be driving down the road, and I am like the guy or the thing from Up. Squirrel! We can be driving down the road, and I'll be like, look at the deer over there. And I'll see deer in the field. And if I don't bring my head back, and PK will be like, honey! And I'm like, what? I was just looking at the deer. I know, and so were we. We were about to go meet him. We tend to veer towards what we're looking at. We tend to head that way. Seeing God, what if we saw him and we started veering his way? What if we looked in the Word and started saying, God, what is that what you have for me? And we started saying, show me. Some of us are like, I don't want to do that, Brad. But I'm telling you, the enemy is going to just get you afraid so you won't ask, but he's got things to show you. Not the enemy. Well, I'm sure he does. But God does. But if we started looking and focusing on God, we'll start being more like him. That's what I want to do. We talked about dreams last week. If we can see it, I'm not talking about the natural, I'm talking about the spiritual, God can get it to you. You see, my problem is I'm human. I would love to say I'm not. I would love to say that, anytime anybody's in trouble, I just open this up and there's a big S on my chest and dun, dun, dun. My kids thought that when I was little. But that's not how it is. We're human. I want so much. Like, God, could we do this? What if the church did this? I've had people that, because I want to see so much stuff. I'm like, I would love to preach 5 services. They said, what if we had 5 services? What would you do? I said, I'd preach them. Because that just fuels me. Well, wouldn't you be tired? Yeah, but it would be awesome. It would just be great to see God move 5 times. I mean, I've preached for Pastor Gary. They call it, they have a Saturday night service, and then they have Sundays. They have 3 Sundays. I got to preach 4 services. I was like, yes. Is that not awesome? For me, that was awesome. It was just like, what an opportunity. Not because I get to be, front of, but I get to do what I'm called to do. What do you see yourself doing? If you can see it in the spiritual, God wants to get it to you. I never believed that. I just thought, it's just for the Billy Grahams and the this and that. But it's not. It's for those that dare to believe. have to start perceiving in the spiritual. We talked last week about at least three things. What's a vision statement? I talked about the church vision statement, live life on purpose. We talked about what we're going to do. And what is the purpose? I mean, what is your purpose? If God gave you a vision, what was the purpose of it? And then what are the goals of that purpose? I mean, just really practical. What do you need to do to make that happen? What steps have to be taken? How many knows you need a plan? You know, I was telling Pastor Kerry one time, and I don't know why the Lord's having me mention his name a lot. I mean, I love him, but I'm just as an example, I mean, I would say, I want to see this, I want to see that. And I remember him telling me, and it's actually in one of his books. He said, if I told you I want you to make $1 million this year, what would you say? You know, the church, just make, you know, and I'd be like, And he said, I'm like, okay, that would be awesome, that would be awesome. He said, well, how would you do it? And I'm like, I have no idea. Find some wealthy donors? how do you do that? So he said, but if I told you I had a company and I wanted you to package these balls, and every ball that you put in this box, I'm going to give you $500 a box. And you could probably, if you worked hard, could probably package a couple hundred boxes a day. Could you see yourself making $1 million? I'm like, yeah. He said, what's the difference? And here's my point. The difference is a strategy, a plan. You know that old saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. What if God gave you something? If he breathes something in you, he's going to give you a way to accomplish it. How is that going to happen? If you don't write it down, if you don't have any way to measure, how do you know if you did it? How do you know if you're successful? You know, this is hard for me to say, so I'm going to say it. So I'm going to say it, okay? Okay, great. Glad you agree. What the Lord told me is he said, and where I'm taking you, this is kind of hard to say. You've been there before, not in the place he's taking me, but in the shape that I was in. You've been, basically, he's telling me, I got to get in better shape. That's always fun. Thanks, God. But that's okay, because he'll give me and has given me a plan. Now I have to put it in force. And for the last couple weeks, I've been putting things in force. And so it's starting to work. So, oh, wonderful. But it's not easy, is it? I mean, not when it just even comes to weight. We all know. How many have ever been on a diet? How many have ever been on a diet again? How many have ever lost weight that you've lost about 10 times before? How many want to nudge your neighbor? He's talking to you. No, don't. But if you don't ever, like if you wanted to lose weight, that's your goal. How are you ever going to know if you did unless you got on the scale? Nobody wants to get on the scale if you really don't want to know what you weigh. You know, you don't want to get on the scale and the scale go one at a time, please. And you go, it's just me. But you have to have a starting point so you know when you get to whatever the goal is. Write the vision. Make it plain. What's your goal? Spiritually. There may be some physical things involved to get you there spiritually. I get it. It may involve more than you. Then you call people under your authority if you're doing whatever you're doing and tell them this is what we're going to do. I mean, it doesn't have to be. I'm not talking about weight loss now. I'm just talking like when we grew up, and Sam can tell you, we had family meetings. Our kids really didn't care too much for family meetings because sometimes they were, you know, they're like, ah. But we are like, as a family, what do we want to do? Where do we want to go? What vacation do we want to take? How are we going to do that? Do they want to contribute, or is there something they want to do to help? And could they keep their rooms clean? What are the chores they could do and things that would just help us around the house so there wouldn't be stress? Some moms needs to say amen to that. But this is our path, and this is what we would say. We would start prophesying the future to the children. We'd call things that are not as though they were. Some things didn't happen right away. But other things happened immediately almost as we put them in force. Other things, we kept them there and we worked for them. We assigned different things. This is what we're going to pray about as a family. This is what we're going to do. Vision, purpose, goals. I don't know about you, but I'm here to talk to some radical people today. Talk to some people who dare to dream. People that talk to the invisible. That are tired of being stuck. That see past where they are. But want to be someplace that they believe they can be. People that will get out of the boat. I just love the picture of Peter walking on the water to Jesus. And there's 11 other disciples could have done that and didn't. And what they thought when he actually walked. I mean, I don't think they encouraged him as Peter's getting out of the boat. Are you crazy? What are you doing? He said, I could come. Yeah. Why don't you fly over there, Peter? Tell me how that works for you. I mean, who knows what they said? But when he gets out and the water, he doesn't sink, he starts walking. And then when he sinks, Jesus pulls him up and the Bible says they both walk back to the boat together. I think that is stellar. I would have been looking at the other guys in the boat and those guys have been, well, I was going to do it. Thomas told me he wanted me to stay with him. You know, I mean, who knows? But I'm just saying, are you able to get out of the boat? Would you dare to dream? I'm going to unpack this together. It's not going to take us long. Here's our first thought today. You be the leader. You be the leader. You lead. You walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't have to see it first. We just believe if the Lord told us, that's it. I challenge you to speak to 2025. I challenge you to speak to make things different this year. We are still in January. I challenge you, just like Justice said, how many have stopped their resolutions? I challenge you, if it's a good one, pick it back up. Speak to the dry bones. Tell them to come back to life. Declare finances and breakthroughs. I'm going to tell you how radical Kim and I have been. We've taken, would you love... You know, I'm at a place now where I can do some things that the Lord wants me to do. But, I mean, back in the day, we couldn't do anything. I mean, wherever we lived, and even today, it was a miracle of God. And I'm very thankful for that. But we didn't, you know, we were just like $15 to $25 a week for groceries with four kids. I don't even know how she did it. But things would just happen. Groceries would just show up on our porch. We didn't put them there. They just show up. People would come and say, the Lord told me I'm supposed to take you to the store and buy you $300 worth of groceries. And that, you know, there's all kinds of things. They'd say, bring the kids. I'm like, you don't want to bring the kids. You take the kids and tell them, okay, what do you want? I mean, they're not going to get food club stuff. They're going to get name brand stuff. They're not going to get poop tarts. They're going to get Pop-Tarts. They're going to get the stuff that's good. Everything, you know, and all kinds of things. And we would, I mean, God would just do something supernatural. It would just be incredible. We looked at our house and said, you know what? We're believing this is paid for. So we took out a check, and I found out the exact payment of the house. You can do that. Your mortgage company will tell you. They don't expect you to pay it off. I don't think they want you to. Maybe they do. Nah. So we wrote it out on a check. It was a lot. And we prayed over that check, and we put it and sealed it in an envelope and set it up on our dresser. We didn't mail it, because it would have boom, 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 boom. But we looked at that check, and this is what we did. Are you with me today? We looked at that check, and we said, paid for. We spoke it. We saw ourselves write it down. Paid for. We would believe we would have that house without a mortgage. What are you believing? You got to start speaking, saying things that you're believing for 2025. This is your year. Declare that this is the year, finally, things are going to start moving in the direction. I'm going to speak to whatever area that I've been sticking at. I'm going to call things that are not as though they are. I'm going to speak to those sticking points. This is the year. I'm going to declare it. This is harvest. There's a new sheriff in town. The enemy, he's going to be arrested. Get it in place. Get it in order. Get it set. Don't be ashamed of what God has told you to do. Now, there's wisdom in who you share everything with. Have you ever done that? Share everything and you really had no plan or anything in force, and then if you don't and you don't go through with it, then you look silly. Just put everything where God wants you to put it. Share to those that have your back. How many people would you have in a foxhole with you? There's people that I'd call that I have them in a foxhole any day of the week. There's people that I love them, they're not being in the foxhole. You know what I'm saying? Honor God. Be careful of what you say. Speak over it. Do it. Live it. Make it part of who you are. Get yourself in position to be fully persuaded. That's what it's. Get yourself full of the word. Let me just say, the enemy, people think, well, it's easy for you. You never get sick. Hey, I fight sickness just like anybody. I don't get sick very often. I'm against it. I don't like it. If you take a vote, sickness, I hate it. So if anything starts to happen to me, I'm on it as quick as I can. I mean, I'm speaking to it. I'm saying, I'm calling things that are not. I'm doing everything that I was going to do. I don't let sickness, I mean, I'll do whatever. And listen, just not long ago, I was attacked and just like, and the enemy comes right in because of the heart attack in 2020, comes in and tries to put all that stuff back in. You're not going to live no morning. Blah, da, 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 da. If you go outside, they'll find you outside. And all kinds of things just hit, boom, boom. And I have to take those thoughts, come on somebody, and take them captive, because killing, stealing, destructing is from the enemy. That's not of God. So I won't think those. I'll speak to those. I'll break those. I'll replace those. Come on. If you're going to pull weeds, you got to plant flowers. So when I pull that stuff out, then I'll grab the word. I'm going to think whatever things are holy and pure, of good report. I'm going to think on these things. I will live and not die. And I will begin to declare those things, and then I'll praise God. And every time, that spirit that tries to put that on leaves. Every time. But how's that happen? Sometimes you're just wore out. During that time, I was tired. I've been seeking the Lord for, give me vision for this church. God, show me what you want to do. You know, and of course, now he's doing that. So this is what I did. And PK helped me. She said, you know what? I'm gonna go to bed. You might want to watch something that's going to feed your spirit. So I went and I just, you know, just put up on the TV. I just watched episodes of breaking the spirit of fear, healing. What I did for the next few hours, I just pumped my spirit full of word. I got to get it inside me. Now, here's the thing, and let me just tell you something, just to be, because if you are allowing fear, then you're not totally in faith. Does that make sense? So then that, boom, there's a flag. I am not fully persuaded because I'm afraid. He didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So it is telling me I got a leak. So I got to fix it. So I got to go, and I got to go to the source and get the word in me, and put some other things that I think I needed to do. There's nothing more important than getting that word in you. You have to get fully persuaded. You have to put your hand to it. Let me make this even more practical. Say if you're here today and you're tired of being single. Your vision is, I want to be married. You might have to change your strategy. Put your hands to it. See, people don't want to. Whether it's being single, whether it's losing weight, whether it's getting out of debt, there is not a fat angel that comes and cuts fat off your body. There's not a debt-free angel that comes and just, you know, you have to start putting your faith and believe and put that there. You have to start, you know what? I have to, you know what, how you lose, I got to quit putting so much in the pie hole. Isn't that how that happens? You know, you can say, I don't like how I got there. Well, I got there one bite at a time. But I have to put my hand to it. If you don't want to be single, you might not want to stay home like Alice from the Brady Bunch and wait on Mr. Right to come along, because he ain't coming, sister, unless he's a sweeper salesman. You might want to start saying, God, what do you want me to do? Get a vision, get a plan, get out and get involved in the Word of God, get involved in the church. Fix yourself up a little bit. No guy wants his woman to eat like a linebacker. I'm just saying, put your hand to something. I'm going to start being happy. Who wants to be around somebody that's always sour grapes all the time? What do you do? I'm just looking for a... You're going to keep looking. It's time we live life. We get involved. You know what we're going to start pushing in 2025, and I'm going to need some help. We have to get some small groups up and going again. I mean, because life happens in small situations. And then we can feel God's presence corporately. But man, there's people that won't come to this building, but they might come to your house. They might watch a football game, and you're going to pray at halftime. And a couple of those, they might say, okay, I know these people. I might go to church. We're going to find out how we get people in the kingdom of God. But we're going to put our hand to it. We're not going to just sit here and by osmosis think, hey. Because I asked God, I said, should I buy an electric sign and put it out front? Eat at Joe's, eat at Joe's. Not that sign, but you know. Yeah, people, they don't know we're here. We already got some lights in the parking lot. Okay, we did that. I get that. But you know what will happen? This is what he said. You and the people, you be the electric. You be the charge. What if we were the people that just said, we don't have to save people. Jesus does that. But we can love them. We can get them here. We can just invite them. What if they say no? Then they say no. Invite them again some other time and just be smiling and say, well, listen, we'll be around. Get yourself in a position to be fully persuaded. This is your year. This is your time. If you want God involved, you know how you get God involved in you? You get involved. You tie God's hands. If you're not involved in it, he can't get involved in it. Everybody, well, God's in control. Yeah, he's sovereign God, yes, but you have a free will, and God won't disobey that. So if you want to keep God out, you can keep him out. If you want to get God in, it is your choice to bring him in the situation. Give your neighbor a high five and say, my story is about to change. That atmosphere in this place is going to get different. We're going to start seeing God just light this place up. You need to get one of those. If you haven't got one, get one. They do glow in the dark. They actually glow pretty bright. If you get them under light, I have to take mine off at night sometimes because it keeps me awake. I mean, I'm fired up. I'm going to light this place up. But your perspective is changing. Your mindset is changing. But for that to happen, your words have to change. Your vision has changed. And so because your heart has changed, your words will change. You've changed. Get the pictures of what you want. Get the pictures of what you're believing for. Get the pictures of what you're dreaming for. Put it in front of your eyes. Put it on a vision board. Stick it on your refrigerator. Do what? Put it on your computer. Make it your wallpaper. Put it on your phone. Do whatever you got to do. But put stuff in front of your eyes that will bring God glory. That will do the vision. It'll keep you reminded of what he's telling you. I'm not bailing. I'm not turning back. In my book, it's as good as done. 10:17 of Romans says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. It's important that we watch our words, especially we've talked about our first words. They set the tone. I got a call the end of this last week from the police department. Is this Brett? Yes, sir. Well, this is the Marion PD. Yes, sir. Are you the key holder? And Still the pastor of True Life Church? Yes, sir. Well, there's been an accident. I said there has. Yes, somebody's ran into your fence in the back. I said, please tell me that it's not the same spot in the second big AC heating unit, and it's quiet. I said, officer, are you still there? He said, you told me not to tell you. So we laughed, and I asked, I said, the next question, is anybody hurt? No, nobody was hurt. I said, well, that's good. He said, can you come? I said, I'll be over there. So I spent a little while here, you know, before the weekend. It's not damaged like it was before. If you remember, they demolished the one. I mean, $17,000 to replace the one. Yikes. This one's dented, but it's still working because it's our Kidstown heat and air. And it's still working. So we'll get some parts to fix it. The fence will have to be replaced and all of that. But my first words were to the officer after, you know, I did say, please don't tell me. And then he didn't tell me, and then we laughed. And so I said, well, you know, it's okay. As long as nobody was hurt, I said, it's okay. God's got it. And he said, pardon me? I said, God's got it. We'll get it fixed. It's not a problem. He'll take care of it. And I'll see you in a few minutes. He said, okay. And they were very kind. But there's a correlation between what we believe and what we say. Matthew 12:34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. As a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs 23:7, so is he. If you want to know what people are really like, let them talk. Just listen. It doesn't take you long in just a few minutes to know where they're at. They could be great people. That's not what I'm saying, but you'll know where they are. Faith-wise, spiritually-wise, I mean, you can kind of get a guess of what's going on. You know, they put pipelines under the water in the ocean, and if there was a leak, obviously, bubbles come from that. The bubbles aren't the problem. The bubble just says where the leak is. You understand? It's just an indicator where the problem, where pressure is getting released. So our second thought, your mouth is a gauge of what your heart believes. We release a lot of things through our mouth, don't we? My wife says things like, you know, don't say that from the pulpit. It's not bad, but she's like, it could be taken wrong. So she helps me. Or you guys would really be entertained. What your mouth is saying is gauging kind of what you're believing by what you talk. Statistics, they say this, if people, they don't have any way to release, they have much more issues. They're more depressed. They have anger issues and things where because they don't have any way to get it out. They have no outlet to release that pressure. So what goes on in here, you think about here, and here comes out here. So what you're thinking about and what you're believing in your heart is what you're eventually going to say. So you give life to things that you speak. Faith is voice activated. I've told you that. So is doubt and fear. Sometimes, you know, I've said to people, and I'm sure they probably said it to me, are you trying to convince them or are you trying to convince yourself? It's great when you see what you speak come to life. And I look around and I see this. I'm trying to remember, like I remember when I went and I was buying this. And back in the day, you know, this is 20 years old or more. And back in the time, I mean, it still does a lot of stuff that we don't even do. I like, it should fly around the room and do all kinds of stuff. I mean, you can play all kinds of instruments and cut all kinds of tracks and do all kinds of things. It's pretty amazing. But I remember what that cost. I remember that was originally a $4,500 keyboard. Yeah, it's all good. You know, and I, you know, how all this stuff happened and when, you know, it's just like, God, you're just amazing. I remember when I was ordained in the Assemblies of God and I was leaving there and I was going to start this church. I met with them, and I left in a proper manner, and I have a letter that says I left in good standing and all that. But they said, so, Brett, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to continue to pastor. You know that. Where are you going to work? I said, that is my job. They said, that can't be done. I said, what do you mean it can't be done? They said, you can't leave a full-time ministry position and go to a full-time ministry position. You haven't even created it yet. The church doesn't even exist yet. I said, well, that's what I'm going to do. They said, it can't be done. And I believe I said something, I don't think these were the exact words, but it was something like that, hide and watch. This is going to happen. And they were like, they laughed. That's exactly what God did. We started that church, we started this church in my house, and we moved, and you know, when it got, you know, and I was driving an hour and 45 minutes one way, setting up every, I mean, so it didn't just happen. I had to, come on, had to put my hand to the dream. You see, some of us, we look like we go into a vision center and go, you know, how? What do you see? What do you mean? Put your hand over your left eye. How many teeth does cashier 4 have? We almost look at things like that. And God is saying, listen, if I give you something and give you steps to do it, you'll remember that one, Rob. Give you steps to do it, then you have to just get out of the boat. You have to do the Peter thing. You got to be fully persuaded. You see, what you're speaking can be good or it can be bad. That depends on you. And we don't like that, but that's true. It's great when I see things come to life when I'm like, Lord, how did you do this? I remember him saying, I said, what am I going to call this church you want me to start? And this is what he said, True Life Church. I said, True Life Church. And he said this, John 14:6. So I didn't even know what John 14:6 said. So I got my Bible and went, John 14:6. You look up John 14:6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. True Life Church. That's how that happened. But isn't that how the kingdom works? That's how we got saved. We believe in our heart. We declare with our mouth and we do not doubt. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. That's how you get saved. Call on the Lord and he hears you. The Bible says, 3 John 1:2, Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So our last point, well, I think it's our last, but it's very close. Number 3, get linked to the truth. Get his word. That's the truth. The word, your words, and your heart. Link those together. The word, your words, and your heart. God says his word doesn't come back void. It gets the job done. So I'm going to line my words up with what the word of God says. And I'm going to believe what God says, because if I line up what God says and I believe in my heart and that's what I confess, that's what happens. When I get it in here and I get it in here, it comes out here and then I see it. But I've been saying it before I saw it. Make sense? It's not enough sometimes just to write it. Yes, you need to write it, but you got to live it. You got to believe it. You got to speak it. You got to declare it. You got to, and if you messed it up a little bit, then you got to repent of it and say, God, help me with that. It's got to be part of who you are. You got to let your heart hear your mouth say, because that's how it knows where it's going. You get yourself in agreement with what you say and what God says. Be a person of your word. And see, here's the problem that we have with faith. Many of us, because we don't do what we say. We don't do what we hear ourselves say. Hey, we're going to meet at 5 o'clock. Can you be there at 5? We got to be there right at 5. Yep, I'll be there at 5. Now, I'm here to tell you now, because I got a lady here keep me accountable. My wonderful friend right here. If I have to miss anything for the commissioners, I try to be as diligent as I can to call them every time. If something happens, I had to go to the hospital or something, I'll call them and say, hey, listen, I'm so sorry, I can't make it there by 9 o'clock for that meeting to pray. And I don't, you know, and the one lady I talked to, she's like, you know, you're like one of the, and I'm not, again, this isn't about me, but you know, nobody really does that. But you know why I do that? Because I want to be a person of my word. If I say I'm going to be there, unless something happens, they at least deserve to know what happened. Because I said I'd be there. And myself needs to hear myself, instead of making excuses, be accountable for my own word. Because if I believe what I'm saying, you know, sometimes we just, I don't understand why it doesn't work for me. Maybe it's because the other 95% of the time, you're not doing what you say you're doing. If you're botching everything else up and you know you're doing it, stop it. People will come and say, I want to be out of debt. I want to quit being in debt. Quit using your credit card then. If you can't pay it off every month, I'm not saying you can't have one and can't use it and then pay it off, but if you can't pay it off and it just gets you further down the spiral, quit doing that. We have to believe ourselves, and then it's amazing when you know, like, I'm going to be a person of my word. If I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. And if I can't, I'm going to let them know, hey, listen, something came up. There's nothing I can do about it, but, you know, I think you, does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. You don't have to, I have people ask me this, well, what if everybody's not in agreement? You're never going to get everybody in agreement with you. I've preached in front of people that hated me. I wish I could say that wasn't true, but I'm pretty sure it was. They sat in the front row. They had their Bibles open. Their face looked like they'd been eating oatmeal through a gas pipe. They had Bibles open, and anything I said, if I said, hey, Romans 10:17. Oh, he said that one right. I mean, they were just trying to find anything at the time. It wasn't this church. It was a church I was pastoring at before I started this church, because they had something that the district had asked me to get out of their bylaws, and I did, and it made people mad, and so they were upset about it. But the district, my headship, had said, get that out of there. And I said, okay, because it wasn't biblical anyway. So I did. Anyways, it's not about them being in agreement with me. It's about being in agreement with God. If God be for you, the Bible says, who can be against you? Now, I'm not dependent on crowd response. I like it, but I'm not dependent on it. It's helpful. But listen, if you are doing what God's told you to do, you can attack hell with a squirt gun and win. I mean, literally, you can. You don't have to be, will the enemy still try to make me afraid? Of course, he's stupid. He's going to try to do everything, but you have to stand on what you know is truth. And the truth that has no wavering is the Word of God. And if you're feeling fear, you know that's not from God. I believe this year we're going to start seeing incredible breakthroughs. You know we're already going to do the entryway and the foyer. We're not going to worry about that. I'm going to let God do that. You know, whether it costs $150,000 or $200,000, whatever that costs, I don't do gimmicks. I just make things, this is what this is, you know. People said, well, what would that be like? I'm like, let's just do silly math. If 100 people gave $25 a week above their tithe, that's $100 a month. And if 100 people did that, what's that come to? Anybody? $100 times a month times 100. There we go. 10,000. You see, if everybody just does whatever God tells them, I'm not saying that's what God is saying. I'm just saying it's his money anyway. I just want to do what he wants. When I started this church, I had to go to a bank we had two mortgages on this building. One was about $100,000, and the other we still have is around $400,000 now. It's very close to being under that, but I think it's just over four. But the one was, we already paid the 100 one off. They didn't expect that. I didn't know how God was going to do it, but he did it. So now we're going to believe that this one will get paid off. And then, I mean, that's not even counting what we're going to do out here or anything else. But it's his building. Here's our last point. Hey, there was one more. The buck stops here. God is your source. You don't have a plan B. I don't have a plan B. This is God's building. This is God's place. You're God's house. This is what he wants to do. Let's make it happen. He will give me provision if he wants me to do it. I put my hand to it. I believe for it. Things just happen that way. They're going to be shocked. I've already talked to the bank just to say, because he asked how things were going. I said, well, we're going to be putting on a new entryway. And he's like, oh, man, that's great. I like to keep good relationships with him if I have to. But I'd like to pay it and not have to have a loan. That would be awesome. Wouldn't that be awesome? But I believe God's going to do it. He's going to do it quicker than what we think. I'm going through notes. I'm just going to get through to the bottom here. Let me ask you this. Have you given yourself permission to succeed? Do you see yourself healthy? What's that look like? You see yourself wealthy? What's that look like? God's not against having money. He's just against money having you. As long as you have finances, you can help a lot of people. What's that look like? What's it look like to see a thriving church in a community that so needs Jesus? Not just a couple of the, I mean, there's great churches in Marion. Please don't misunderstand me. There's some mainline denominational churches, and some of those are, we have a couple. One's independent, I think, and one's a mainline, but they're the bigger ones here in church. You know, we're probably in the top five, if you think about it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I'm just saying, what's that look like if this was so alive? There's so much going on here. We're helping so many people. This year I want to have serve days, at least one. If we can, two, if we can do that, where we find a family that just needs help or somebody, and the church, we go and we serve them. We fix it. We pay for it. And the community is like, what? Yeah. And we just say, we just love you. We're not giving them a bill. We're just helping. What's that look like? I've had people ask me, would you have a daycare center here? Yeah, if the Lord told me to, I would. But that's going to take people to run that. You have to have certain things and state requirements and, you know, do you have infants and are you serving food? Those are all hoops you got to jump through. I'll just do whatever the Lord says. There's people that ask us, I think we should have a food pantry. Don't need a food pantry. There's stuff right over here. I'd rather endorse them. We also give to Breaking Bread. That's their ministry. Let's let them do that. Let's help them. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to do everything. I just want to do what he wants. I just want to be the one, if he says get out of the boat, I want to get out. Do you see yourself doing that? What's your vision for 2025? I'm speaking to it. I'm actually living in the house we've spoke about for years. We drove by it for years, and now we're living there. I mean, who'd have figured? We did, kind of, I guess. We kind of just put it off in the thing, but then it just kind of came to pass. And the Lord prompted me, and I called Scott. And Scott called the owner, who wasn't for sale, and said, my pastor wants to buy your house. If you're interested, here's his number. In a week, I'm sitting in the house, and now I'm living there. It's crazy. In the world standards, but not in the spiritual standards. What are you seeing? I would dare to believe there's people in here that are tired of being stuck. I'm ready to go further. I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about peace, joy, living life on purpose. All the money that goes with that, fine. But, you know, whatever he wants, it's his money. What, you want me to sow over here? I'll sow that. You want me to help this person? Let's do that. What's that look like if this place became the center that God wants it to be? The place where people find life and meaning and purpose. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?